Scripture reading this morning is Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourselves in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're thankful for our good numbers out again. And again, if we do have visitors, we definitely especially welcome you. As Terry mentioned, did you just say a guest speaker or a special guest? I'll say there's nothing special about me anyway. But hey, I'm glad to, as you know, Kyle and his family, Kyle's holding a gospel meeting in Sardis, Ohio this week. I know he's through Uncle Sue Wilson, and for those who want to maybe have a chance to go there this week, Sardis is up there along the river, not that far, and go maybe help support that meeting. Again, I want to make mention of our gospel meeting that is coming up here starting next Lord's Day. We hope that all have made plans to be here, and that we've invited others for that meeting. Jerry, thank you for reading the scripture for me. And Jacob, please appreciate you and the songs. And I'd ask Jacob to lead that last song, "The World's Not My Home." And there's been a lot of lessons talked about and folks and on that subject, "This World's Not My Home." Kind of an easy one to prepare. And but it's something I think we all need to think about, because it's pretty easy, even as Christians, to get pretty comfortable here in this world. And if we're not careful, we start to live like this world is our home. So that's what I want to talk about. And I've got a few things that I think will make us think, and hopefully will encourage us and help us as we continue in this Christian life, that we can be better Christians in our everyday life and better examples to those around us. But as the song we just sung, "This World's Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." You know, we live in a world that's beautiful in all the sights and that. I think about Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created this world and all of its sights and attractions, and it is beautiful. All of creation. When I think about creation, I think about nature. When I think about nature, I think about especially the work that I do. I'm privileged to do a lot of it is outdoors mostly. We're outside amongst nature and all of the beautiful things that that I see, and especially as we begin a new season, our spring season, and of course all of our seasons are beautiful, and every day is beautiful in their own way. And we need to look for the beauty in that. But this is a beautiful time of the year. We see life in its fullest. The grass as it gets greener and greener and grows. grows, and we'll have to start mowing that grass real soon. And I don't know about you, but I love the smell of grass as it's being mowed. Beautiful smell. And so it's all beautiful. And we think about that. I think about life in general, life. And I think about life, I think about our children. And we're real blessed here with these little ones. And life as it begins in our children. And we have a lot of young people here, and so we're blessed. We're just so blessed to have such a mixed group of the very young to the old, and we thank God for that. We always thank God for those young ones because they are the future of the church. But life is good, this country in which we live. And I think, when I think about the world, I think about this country in which we live. And I think we're probably spoiled because of all the spaces of freedom that we have, that we enjoy here. And that's true, but I know that we know many throughout the world want to come here to this country in which we live. And I thank God for this country, and that this country was founded on God. But this country is going away from God, and I think that that's something that we need to pray about. We need to pray for this country every day because it has seemed that it is going far from God. But God intended us. He intended us to enjoy life here. He intended, and I hear a lot of young people over the years, I don't think I can enjoy life as a Christian. You see, there's a lot of things in this world that maybe I couldn't do. But I'm telling you, the Christian life is the best life. It's the best life that we can ever live. And we need to encourage our young people. And that's why we need to have them here to grow in the church, that they can see that. The best life that we can ever live. But I'm telling you, sometimes as Christians, we get a little comfortable here in this life. We get a little satisfied. We got good jobs. We got nice homes. We got nice automobiles. We gather up our treasures. But we start to really enjoy it. And I like coming home, don't get me wrong, from a hard day's work or whatever. I don't have a lot of hard day's work, God bless anyway. But to get there, that maybe that old easy chair, and boy, no, it's still really comfortable. But I think that's how we do, I think, in life in general sometimes. And so we get a little careless, and we put our Christian responsibilities that we have kind of back on the back burner because everything is really going good, Brent. Everything's good here now. So we put that on the back burner, and now we're living as though this world is our home. That's easy to do. Even as Christians. But you know, it reflects. It reflects on me, and I know that it, you know, as part of the other kids, me, Terry, and John, and Kyle, and we have our monthly meetings. We talk about these things because it concerns us. Your souls concern us, and so we talk about those things. And when I say it reflects on or as many times that reflection is in our opinion. And it's easy sometimes to be here on Sunday morning for worship service. We try to do our best to do that. And Sunday evening rolls around and we're not here. Don't see some of you in or into Bible study. Gospel meetings, as I say, we've got one coming up. They're not attended real well. We have Vacation Bible School that comes up here in June. These are things that happen every year. Sometimes it's not attended real well. Because we've made other plans, you see. We make other plans. We have our priorities in the wrong place. This world's not our home, you see. It's not our home. Heaven is our home. And that's what we need to strive for. Heaven is our home. A couple of scriptures I want to read. And I think we had this scripture, like Kyle did last Lord's Day. He kind of hit on some of the stuff that I'm talking about today. But over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says that our citizenship is in heaven, because heaven is our home. Our citizenship here upon this earth is temporary. That's all it is. That's all it was ever meant to be. It's just temporary. And I'm reminded sometimes, when the faith is not mistaken about this lesson, what the Apostle Paul meant. What he said in Philippians 1, verse 23. Paul said that, and I might have got these scriptures flipped around, so I did, you know what I'm talking about here, but this is Philippians 1, 23. Paul said, I'm hard pressed between the two, and the two he's talking about was being here on the earth or heaven. He said, having a desire, he said, to depart and to be with Christ, he said, which is far better. We're looking for a citizenship in heaven. 1 Peter 1 and 4 is an inheritance that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Everything here on this earth will fade away. It's only temporary. Jesus said in Matthew, and this is the verse that Jared went for, and appreciate that. Matthew chapter 6, 13, 19, and 21. Jesus said, in the beginning of 19, he says, do not. And I think that's a warning for us. And I know when I grew up and my mom and dad, the one said, do not, then you better not do it. But he says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but to lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. He says, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So the question is to you this morning, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is your heart invested in the world and in the worldly things? Or is your heart invested in God and in God's Word? Another scripture I want us to look at, that's over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. It begins there, and it says again, do not be conformed to this world. Because it's easy to get conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we've all probably conformed something. When I think about that illustration there, I think about a potter in clay. As he conforms a piece of clay and he makes whatever item that he is desiring to make. And I know probably all of us have, as Faithy was said, and Grant said, has pulled that clay dough. And you take it, and you can squeeze it, and you can push on it, and shove it around, and make whatever item or little thing there you want to make. But in doing that, you know, it takes pressure, doesn't it? It takes pressure to form that, to conform whatever you want to do. And we live in a world today that wants to pressure you. It wants to conform you to the work and the ways of this new world. So I don't want to think, and I really don't want to say that I think that the best days are behind us. I don't. But we're living in some pretty scary times. A lot of changes in this world. A lot of changes are still happening fast. And that makes me worry more than ever about our young people. We have all this gender disorder. Boys can be girls. Girls can be boys. There's medication that they can take. There's doctors that perform surgeries. There's politicians that back it and push it in our government. There's schools that are backing it and pushing it in a lot of areas. We see it a lot. I don't know if you've noticed it. I'm sure you have. You've watched any news at all. You start to see it in our sports. Have you noticed that? Men that can't compete, maybe, in their sport, what do? They train, get a sex change. I think that's what they call it, sex change. So that they can compete with the girl, they can use the same restroom, the same, they can shower in the same shower room. You know something? God made us male or female. And I don't care what medications that they have out there or what surgeries they have out there. We're born in this world either a male or a female. That's how God intended it. We have something going on called this woke agenda. Probably all of you know about it. You hear about it. You read about it. This LGBT, and there's a lot more letters than that goes with that. And I'll tell you what it stands for. I'll make it real short. It stands for sin. It's nothing more than just sin. That's what fear puts out there above, facing our young people. And many of our young people are being pressured, you see. And this, I'm afraid, is going to get worse. I don't say it's going to get better, but it's going to get worse. So I think it's something that we need to think about, facing with our kids. To get pressured. You see, if you don't go along and you don't agree with that agenda, you just might be canceled out. It's about this cancel culture. There's a lot to talk about here. We won't have time to get into that stuff. But you're rejected, bullied. That's why I'm glad that this world's not my home. So the question is again, is heaven your home? I'm taking this allergy medication. My mouth dries up fast. Is heaven your home? I want you to just, you need to wrap your mind, think about that. Is heaven your home? You know, there's something that we don't talk a lot about. We don't talk a lot about hell. Don't hear a lot of preachers preach on it. But hell is real. We need to know that. It's real. It's a real place. It's a real place. And I just picked a couple of scriptures that kind of illustrate that. And probably most of you are going to be familiar with. And both of them are parables. And the first one is there in Matthew chapter 13. And the parable there is of the wheat and the tares. So listen to it. Like I say, I'm not going to start from the beginning, but this is what Jesus is telling them there, explaining to them, and then but he explains down here to the disciples what it means. So he said, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered, he said to them, he said, he who sows the good seed is the Son of God. The field, he said, is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. He said, therefore, the tares are gathered and they're burned into a fire. So it will be at the end of this age that the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. And he will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's a good description of hell. Another parable I wanted to look at, and that's a parable there in Luke 16, starting there in verse 19. Parable of the rich man and Lazarus. There we're going to see that Jesus, he illustrates an account of afterlife. He says, most of you probably know this term well too, that there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was full of sores, who they lay at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. It says, moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died. And he was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom, paradise. And the rich man, he also died, and he's buried. And then in torment, in Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off. And he says, and he threw Lazarus there in his bosom. And he cried. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And he said, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. He says, for I'm in torment in this place. A couple of good illustrations there about a place that's real. You know, as much as I have a hard time wrapping my mind and my head around heaven, how the beauty of it, the glory of it, and how wonderful to be, I can't imagine hell. You know, I just can't imagine day after day, night after night, tormented in fire, wailing and gnashing of teeth. I can't imagine how terrible a place that would ever be. But you know, Jesus died for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for the sins of the world. He died for our sins that we wouldn't have to go to such a place. We don't have to. And don't let anybody ever tell you that there's not such a place. I know that some want to believe and they want to say, well, God is he's such a loving and he created us. And he wouldn't send us there. He wouldn't send us to a place like that. But the Bible teaches that there is such a place. Jesus died for our sins that we can have a home in heaven to be with him when this life here is finished. You know, the song we just sung, "This World Is Not My Home." Going down in the song there, in the latter part of the song, in the chorus. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? You know one thing about it, as Christians, we will never, ever have to answer that question. We'll never have to question that. Because heaven is our home. But there's some that will. The Bible really talks about two places. And yet we are all going to leave this world. And we're going to stand before God. And we're going to be judged. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says that as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. John 12, 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. You as Christians, we can look forward to standing before God and hearing him say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. There's those who won't. You know, and I think maybe Brent missed it in class or Terry did this morning. You know, we make the choice, don't we? You know, nobody's twisting our arms, or nobody's going to force us to live a Christian life. But it's our choice. Life or destruction. Life or destruction. That breaks it down to, Bible tells about, talks about two ways. Two ways, that's all the Bible ever talks about. No other. There's no third way. There's no second chance. I know that there's some that want to believe that if you don't make it the first time, you'll have a second opportunity. The Bible don't teach that nowhere. Matthew. Listen to what Jesus says about the two ways. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. He says to enter by the narrow gate. He says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. He says, and there are many, the majority, who go in by it. But he says, because narrow is the gate, and he says, difficult is the way which leads to life. That's heaven. And he said that there are few that find it. Difficult, he says, is the way, the narrow way, the narrow gate. And I expect it's going to be difficult because we've got to work for it, don't we? That's something we've got to work for. Yeah, if I've always heard, and if there's anything worth having, worth working for, isn't it? That broad way we talked about here, you see, that's the easy way. Just lay up our treasures here and just eat, drink, and be merry. That's the easy way because you're not going to have to do nothing. And there's many, it says many, majority. We're just driving that broad way that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. That eliminates this world being our home, and that just narrows it down to two places. Two places. And you and me as Christians, and all the Christians throughout this world today, we are the few, we're the few, that are on the narrow way that leads to eternal life. It's our job to seek those that are lost, and get them on that narrow way. So the question is, have you made heaven your home? So I want to kind of glance yourself that in your mind, and glance it in your mind. Be honest if you would, and I hope that you have. So as we close, I want us just to think about life and how short, even if we live to be at old age. We know in James where it illustrates life is like a vapor that a perish and just vanishes away. It's fast, it's quick. So we're often reminded of just how short life is when we lose those that are near and dear to us. We face that. Most of us have faced that in life and brings us to home. Yeah. Yeah. It's all temporary. It's all temporary. I think about heaven and I gain a lot of comfort when I think about what it says in Revelation there, verse 4. For it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There are no tears in heaven. There will be no more death. There will be no sorrow. No crying. No more pain. You know, we look forward to that. So we face so much of that right here in this world. We look forward to that time. What joy, what comfort to know that that awaits the Christian. To know that heaven is our home. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to hear and believe. Repent. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, I don't know if we have any here that's not done that. But to have heaven as your home, that's where we need to begin. If you haven't, I want you to think about your life and your soul. Because this world's not. As much as we want to feel comfortable here and feel like we're at home. No. Maybe you've done that and you've left. You just walk away. Maybe Satan dragged you back out in the world. The worldly ways and the worldly things. Whatever your needs are, be baptized or prayer to forgive of the sins. I want you to think about that. And I'm going to have, of course, Jacob's going to lead us here in an intake of soul. If you need to make your life right with God, your soul, please do it. What you do as we stand and as we say, in the intake of soul. Jacob.